Welcome to Ring of Fire. I'm Farron Cousins. Coming up on today's show, Donald Trump, once again, as per usual, gets saved at the last minute. The appeals court in New York decided to not only reduce the amount of his bond payment, but also to give him, for some reason, an extra 10 days to pay it. I'll bring you all the details on that ridiculous story, along with the fact that Donald Trump seems to be laboring under the delusion that a criminal conviction would actually help him in the 2024 election, in spite of the fact that all of the polls tell us the exact opposite would happen. We also have President Biden surging in the polls. He is now either dead even or beating Donald Trump in multiple vital swing states. And based on the current numbers, if the election were held today, Biden would easily win. We also have a psychiatrist, Dr. Elizabeth Zoffman, who gave an interview to Salon.com's Chauncey DeVega this week, who says that she has identified yet another symptom showing that Donald Trump likely is suffering from dementia. We also have Republicans at each other's throats after Marjorie Taylor Greene introduced her motion to vacate the speakership last Friday. I'll tell you all about that. And if you want the full show every week, make sure you sign up and become a member at ROFpodcast.com. And for Ring of Fire every day of the week, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/TheRingOfFire. So for the past week, in nearly every segment that I have done, talking about, the deadline's approaching for Trump to pay the $464 million, I've included the fact that, hey, don't get your hopes up, because something always comes along at the last second to save Donald Trump. And Monday was, of course, no exception. As we had just hours left before Donald Trump hit that deadline of having his property seized, the appellate court, a 5-judge panel on the appellate court, decided, you know what? Let's not only give him an extra 10 days, but let's also reduce the amount he has to pay for the bond to $175 million, basically a $300 million almost reduction. And of course, on top of that, let's go ahead and give in to his other demands and go ahead and put a stay on several of the conditions that Judge Arthur Engoron had put on him, which basically means Donald Trump being barred and his kids being barred from doing business in the state of New York is now indefinitely on hold pending his appeal. So he can still do business in New York. His kids can still do business in New York. They got 10 days to come up with a $175 million bond, which they should be easily able to do at this point. And Trump wins again. There's always something that comes along at the last second that saves this bastard. Every time, no matter how bad you think things are for Trump, no matter how bad they look, this guy always, every time, wriggles out of it. And following the decision on Monday of the court to, you know, basically throw him a massive lifeline, Donald Trump went out there and started celebrating. He sent an email out to his supporters with the headline, "Trump Tower remains mine." And of course, he got on Truth Social to declare victory, saying this: "Judge Arthur Engoron has refused to obey by the decision of the appellate division relative to the statute of limitations. This is a confrontation between a judge and those that rule above him, a very bad situation in which to place New York State and the rule of law." Now, before I continue, let me go ahead and say that no, Engoron actually did not violate the appellate court's decision on the statute of limitations. He abided by it. That's why a lot of the years where they also had evidence of fraud, they weren't allowed to do anything about it. So Engoron did not violate the court's order there. That is an absolute lie from Donald Trump and a misrepresentation of what happened in the first place. But Trump continued. "Engoron has disrespected the appellate division and its very clear and precise ruling. He should be made to do so and at the same time release the gag order. This is the fifth time in this case that he has been overturned, a record. His credibility and that of Letitia James has been shattered. We will abide by the decision of the appellate division and post either a bond, equivalent securities, or cash. This also shows how ridiculous and outrageous Engeron's original decision was at $450 million. Then in all caps, he adds, I did nothing wrong, and New York should never be put in a position like this again. Businesses are fleeing, violent crime is flourishing, and it is very important that this be resolved in its totality as soon as possible. Thank you. This is what this bastard does. And it's, again, I predicted this. I literally said the appellate court was going to come in at the last minute and save him, and they did. So I shouldn't be as mad about this as I am, because I totally knew it was going to happen. But it's just one of those times where, man, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I am wrong. I was hoping to go and do videos on Tuesday saying, hey, guess what? I was wrong, and I'm glad. But nope, didn't happen. It is what it is, folks. Of course, for the record, this does not do away with the $464 million that Trump owes the state. All this does is it frees him up to actually go through with the appellate process. That could take months. But if the appellate court eventually says, nope, we agree with Engeron's ruling, you got to pay the full amount, then he's back in that position, right? So this is a lifeline. It is not a bailout. It's still infuriating. It's still a dereliction of duty, I think, by this appellate court. But we can't change that, and we just have to accept it for what it is. An absolute two-tiered system of justice where wealthy white guys can pretty much do whatever the hell they want at any time. Prior to the appellate court's decision on Monday to reduce the amount of money that Donald Trump owes for the bond and, of course, give him an extra 10 days to pay it, his idiot son, Eric Trump, was on Fox News this past weekend whining about the fact that bankers were laughing in his face as he asked them, you know, can we basically borrow $500 million? Eric Trump said in an interview with Fox's Martha McCallum, quote, every single person when I came to them saying, hey, can I get a $500 million bond? Maria, they were laughing. They were laughing. I'm sorry, it was Maria Bartiromo, not Martha McCallum, so my mistake there. But yeah, Maria, they were laughing. They were laughing, he repeated himself. People were laughing to my face as I called them and said, can I have $500 million? You know, Eric, I think you're kind of forgetting why your family needed, at the time, $500 million to begin with, right? It was because the company was found to have been engaging in fraud against who? The banks. So it's not shocking that you're not going to find a bank willing to give you $500 million because you were found liable for defrauding banks, right? Like, you don't get to defraud the banks, then whine when those same banks won't give you $500 million. But Eric Trump didn't stop there. Oh, God, no. He said, they're trying to deprive him of cash because they want to bankrupt him. They want to hurt him so badly. And it's going to backfire because he's going to win this in November. Is he? I mean, actually, not according to the polls. In the last 8 polls, 8, folks, Biden's back on top. The polling aggregates, because so many polls now have Biden on top, show Biden on top. In fact, ever since Donald Trump became the only Republican left in the race, his numbers have gone down. Biden's numbers are going up. His approval rating is going back up. It's still bad, don't get me wrong, but it's going up. His handling of the economy, according to voters, is going up. So, oh, Trump's going to win in November, then you'll all be sorry. The polls are telling us otherwise. You know, Eric Trump is really, really good at whining. Whining about not getting $500 million, whining about people wanting to bankrupt his father. But what Eric Trump is not good at are the facts. And the facts are, in fact, against him on this particular issue. His dad is not cruising to an easy victory in November. His dad is not going to make friends with the banks after all of this is over. And there is still a very, very good chance that he still has to pay the entire $464 million once his appeal is over. During an interview on CBS's Face the Nation this past Sunday, former Republican Congressman and former Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy was asked, obviously, about Marjorie Taylor Greene's effort to oust current Republican Speaker Mike Johnson, who, of course, is the guy that replaced Kevin McCarthy, leading to Kevin McCarthy leaving Congress. And McCarthy almost seemed a little sympathetic towards Marjorie Taylor Greene, of course, before saying that Matt Gaetz engaged in illegal activity. So, interesting what McCarthy had to say here. Here's what he said. "The one thing I've always found when you sit down with a member and talk to them, find out where their concerns are, especially when it's based upon policy, you can solve that problem. And I watched that with Marjorie from the vote to speaker to the vote for the Fiscal Responsibility Act. There's times she had a difference of opinion and you sit down and find common ground." Okay, so he's saying, like, listen, Marjorie Taylor Greene is doing this not because she's a petulant child, but because obviously she disagreed with Mike Johnson on this, so she, what, wants him to lose his job? Like, that's not a policy difference. That's a being a grown-up versus being a child difference, Kevin. But then Kevin got into the meat of it. He said, "Matt's case was much different. It was about a personal thing that he had done, and that's what he was trying to get something illegally stopped. I think the Ethics Committee, it was purely Matt coming to me, trying to get me to do something illegal to stop the Ethics Committee from moving forward with an investigation that was started long before I became Speaker." Wow. Those are bold words. Those are big, bold accusations saying that Matt Gaetz did something illegal. I mean, let's be crystal clear here. Kevin McCarthy has already been on record following his ousting in October that Matt Gaetz did this because I wouldn't shut down the House Ethics Investigation. Now, I do believe that that is true, but you always got to be crystal clear here. Would it have been illegal for Kevin McCarthy to just shut down that investigation? No, that's not illegal. So, Kev, you got to choose your words a little more carefully here, bud. Because Matt Gaetz asking you to just let's stop this investigation, it's unethical, sure, but illegal? Absolutely not. And if you're accusing somebody, by the way, even a public official, of illegal activity, and you say that they did something illegal, not that they may have, but that they did, then they can actually still sue for defamation. So, Kevin, again, choose your words a little more carefully because you could be looking at the wrong end of a lawsuit from Matt Gaetz on this particular issue. But while we're on the subject, it's important to remind the people of what the House Ethics Committee is investigating for Matt Gaetz. They're investigating, according to the New York Times, that he engaged in sexual misconduct and illicit drug use, shared inappropriate images or videos on the House floor, misused state identification records, converted campaign funds to personal use, and accepted impermissible gifts under House rules, among other allegations. So those are the things the House Ethics Committee is investigating. Those are pretty serious accusations, but at the time, remember, they are not charges. They are, in fact, allegations. And Gaetz wanting to get this shut down, obviously nobody would want to be investigated for that stuff, especially if you did it. So yeah, he definitely would want that shut down. But making that request and then ousting you as speaker when the request wasn't granted, certainly unethical, but definitely not illegal. Donald Trump appears to be laboring under the delusion that if he gets a conviction in the New York hush money trial, it may somehow actually make him more popular with the American public. So here's what happened. Obviously, Donald Trump had a hearing with the New York judge, Juan Merchan, on Monday, and Merchan set an April 15th trial date. So, following that, Donald Trump stepped outside where he was greeted by reporters who asked him a myriad of questions. But one of the questions was, at the trial here in 3 weeks, do you plan to testify? To which Donald Trump responded, I don't know that you're going to have the trial. I don't know how you can have a trial like this in the middle of an election, a presidential election. And this is, again, this is a Biden trial. These are all Biden trials. I would have no problem testifying I didn't do anything wrong. So then the reporter followed up and said, and would you be concerned that a conviction, if you are convicted in that trial, could cost you the election? And Trump responded, well, could also make me more popular because the people know it's a scam. It's a Biden trial. This is a Biden. There is no trial. There is a Biden trial. Okay, so you said Biden trial enough to let us know that that is definitely the talking point you're going to be going with here. But no, let's be crystal clear about this. President Biden has absolutely no jurisdiction over the district attorney's office in Manhattan. That's not even a thing. And it kind of pisses me off that the reporter simply asked a follow up instead of calling him out for the lies. This is why reporting here in the United States is such garbage. Don't ask a follow up before you've called him out for the lie. And then after he did give the second response, like it may help me, you could have pointed out, by the way, that literally every single poll where the question has been asked shows that if Donald Trump gets a single conviction on a single count in a single trial, he will lose enough support to lose all of the swing states in this country and let President Biden cruise to an easy electoral victory. So I just did your job for you, and I shouldn't have to do that. You should know how to do these things. It is not your job to simply get sound bites. I mean, I know that technically is what reporters just do now, but it should have been your job. You know, decades ago, it would have been your job to push back on these false claims from Donald Trump. You know the reality. You know the facts. My God, it's not that hard to do. But you can't do it. The press can't do it. They cannot hold this man accountable. They cannot call him out for his lies. They can't cite these polls that I've talked about 100 times here at Ring of Fire. No. Just let the man lie, and hopefully the fact checkers later on will pick it up, or maybe somebody like me or anybody else in the progressive square, we have to sit here and debunk this garbage because reporters in the corporate media aren't doing their jobs. With all of these Republicans deciding to abruptly leave Congress because they can't deal with the dysfunction anymore, it of course has put Republicans in an unfortunate position of having to address the reality that they're not good at what they do, and even their fellow colleagues are like, screw it, I'm out. And for some Republicans, that's a bitter pill to swallow, which is why you have people like Republican Representative Anna Paulina Luna from the state of Florida, who doesn't want to admit that there's problems within her party. Instead, she went on Fox News this week to actually suggest that there is some kind of conspiracy, I guess, taking place with these Republicans. Here is what she said about all of these resignations. There are members that I believe have intentionally designed this to cripple a Johnson-controlled majority. They have been leaving to lead us to gridlock. So if you are constituents in those areas, just, I'll tell you this, the swamp is alive and well in Washington. These resignations from Congress are perfectly timed and not by chance. It's by design to cripple the majority. The swamp is real. If you're tired of the same old, stop voting for people who are a part of the problem. So let me get this straight. You think that these lawmakers, many of whom have served in Congress for multiple terms, okay? We're talking about basically some of these folks just career politicians, right? This is what they've known for most of their lives. But they, according to your theory, years and years ago, set out on this plan. They knew someday they would have it all lined up perfectly, right? The planets align and we can pull off our massive plan to cripple the Republican majority. Now, you do realize, Anna Paulina Luna, how crazy that sounds when I repeat it back to you like that, right? I hope that you can hear how dumb it is. There's not a grand conspiracy. You don't have Republicans who have spent their lives as Republicans, who have campaigned as Republicans, passed Republican legislation. Those people did not get together behind closed doors and say, all right, listen up, guys. I know we've all been Republicans our whole lives, but really our secret plan was to suddenly help the Democrats, you know, for half a year instead of doing it, you know, a year ago. We're going to help them for like half a year. So let's all resign within a couple weeks of each other, and then we'll really screw over the party that we've dedicated our lives to. Yeah, I gotta tell you, when Ana Paulina Luna says, you know, if you're tired of the same old, stop sending these people, I think she's talking about herself. Because if you're tired of conspiracy theories, if you're tired of morons, if you're tired of voters scraping the bottom of the barrel to find the dumbest candidates possible, then yeah, stop voting for people like Ana Paulina Luna. For about the past month, the Biden campaign, one way or another, whether it's on social media or through campaign spokespeople, or even just President Biden himself trolling Donald Trump on social media, they have come out swinging against the former president. And the voters have noticed. And that is, of course, why the most recent 8 presidential polls have President Biden once again ahead of Donald Trump. And a new poll came out this week showing that President Biden has gained ground and or surpassed Donald Trump in multiple different swing states. Whereas a month ago, Trump was beating Biden pretty easily in all those swing states, according to the polls. Here it is. You have swing states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. But those were all the swing states where Donald Trump was beating President Biden in February. In March, not so much. Donald Trump only leads in Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, and North Carolina. And to be honest, I think calling Georgia a swing state is a big, big stretch. So I'm not even going to include that one. But Arizona, Nevada, North Carolina. Meanwhile, Biden has drawn even with Trump in Michigan and Pennsylvania, and he's pulled ahead of Donald Trump in Wisconsin. Trump was up by 6 points in Pennsylvania, 4 in Wisconsin, and 2 in Michigan just a month ago. And now Biden is either tied with or beating him in those states. And I do not think that it is a coincidence that this surge in Biden's polls coincides with him talking more tough and directly calling out Donald Trump. And granted, what I'm about to read to you happened after these polls were conducted. His campaign is not letting up. Here is what campaign spokesperson James Singer said this week about Donald Trump following, you know, the news on Monday. He said, Donald Trump is weak and desperate, both as a man and a candidate for president. He spent the weekend golfing, the morning comparing himself to Jesus, and the afternoon lying about having money he definitely doesn't have. His campaign can't raise money, he's uninterested in campaigning outside his country club, and every time he opens his mouth, he pushes moderate and suburban voters away with his dangerous agenda. America deserves better than a feeble, confused, and tired Donald Trump. That is a powerful statement. And of course, we had President Biden on Monday mock Donald Trump for allegedly winning trophies at his own golf course. Like, you're in charge of who gets the trophies and you gave them to yourself. Cool. That sounds totally legit. But they're getting tougher against Donald Trump. And his polls are going up. Now, another thing that is also happening that has nothing to do with Biden is the fact that Donald Trump, for the entire month of March, has been the only Republican candidate. So, as I said, when Nikki Haley dropped out, Donald Trump gets 100% of the focus now. There are no media outlets that still have to talk about Vivek Ramaswamy or Nikki Haley, even Ron DeSantis, who is the only one out of those three that actually still has power. But even the DeSantis stories have died off as everybody's focused on Donald Trump. And the more you focus on him, the less people like him. So his polls are going down. Biden is once again showing, hey, he's got a little bit of fight left in him. Yeah, he's old, but he can still go toe-to-toe with the best of them, right? If he can keep this up, if Biden can keep this up, if his campaign stays quick-witted and clever, then yeah, I think he can maintain this momentum and build on it heading into this election. I've spent a lot of time on Ring of Fire talking about the fact that we have just mental health professional after mental health professional coming out and warning us about the dangers posed by Donald Trump and his very obvious cognitive decline. And one of the best resources, by the way, for these psychiatrists and psychologists and other professionals coming out is Salon.com's Chauncey DeVega interviews these people on a regular basis. And this week, he interviewed another one, Dr. Elizabeth Zoffman, who happens to be a forensic psychiatrist and an associate clinical professor of forensic and general psychiatry at the University of British Columbia. And Dr. Zoffman said, Trump is showing signs of dementia. And yeah, we see the usual things, right, with his speech and all of that. But Dr. Zoffman has noticed something else with Donald Trump that she says is one of the biggest indicators that there is a very serious problem with his cognitive functions. Let me read you this. This is from that interview. A decline in cognitive focus on speech subjects with incomplete sentences and an inability to focus on a topic long enough to complete a sentence when not reading from a teleprompter, disinhibition, and an inability to control verbal outbursts are definitely things that she sees in Trump. But then she added, there's something about his movement and his gait, the way he walks. His walk appears wide-based, and he has developed a swing of his right leg. He appears glued to the floor when he dances for his audience. If caught on camera standing still, he appears unnaturally immobile. My clinical experience and these collected observations are congruent with the diagnostic criteria for behavioral variant frontotemporal dementia. People presenting with such a cluster of observations should undergo expert assessment. This diagnosis is often largely based on external observations and collateral reporting from others close to the person. In Mr. Trump's case, the overall picture is consistent with behavioral variable frontotemporal dementia, with the caveats mentioned about needing a thorough evaluation, including an MRI brain scan. The associated disinhibition exposes unfortunate aspects of his personality and worldview, where he repeatedly dehumanizes anyone he sees as the other. And for the record, this behavioral variable frontotemporal dementia is a progressive neurodegenerative disorder that leads to progressive deterioration and early death. Once again, I caution that my observations, combined with those of other experts, should lead to a thorough assessment by a neuropsychiatrist expert in the diagnosis and management of neurodegenerative disorders. So, this is yet another expert who is telling us, I think this guy has dementia. She's listing the symptoms. She's talking about the diagnostic criteria. And I've said this, multiple times. We have seen scores of mental health professionals going all the way back to 2016 and 2017 tell us that there is something cognitively wrong with Donald Trump. We have not, however, seen that with President Biden. You don't have groups of mental health professionals sounding alarm bells about Biden. They are doing that about Donald Trump. And it's not because these people are hyper-partisan. It's because they're trained professionals. They know more than you and I about this particular issue. So when they're telling us that it looks like something's wrong, obviously they need further assessment. They need brain scans. They'll never get them. But if we can only go based on the observations, based on what we see, based on what we hear, then it's fairly obvious there is something clinically wrong with Donald Trump's brain. And that's it for this week's free portion of the Ring of Fire podcast. But if you want the full show every week, sign up and become a member at rofpodcast.com.